But you'll follow this manner. You'll follow this manner and practice this. In your personal life, you'll find that I'll honor your step of faith. But you know this, faith without works is dead. The moment that you lift up your voice in the midst of the valley and begin to praise me as though you were already on the top, then I'll have the authority to raise you up into heavenly places where you really are seated, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
We don't have to wait. I love it. Though Smith Wigglesworth, he raised more people from the dead, documented doctors they had in modern era. And he said that emotions highly, highly, highly overrated. Well, we feel his emotion right now. And that's where he wants us to stay.
Yeah.
But he'd raise people from the dead without any of this.
Yes. Amen.
Just on the raw word.
Yes. Yes.
One day, he embarrassed himself and everybody in the room. The young man died. He's the same guy that would do this if people knew him and heard him do it. If he saw a cripple across the street, he'd say, "Hey, fella, do you believe God will heal you if I lay my hands on you?" The guide said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "I'll tell you what, if he doesn't, he's a liar."
Jesus.
Whew. Just go over there and raise him up.
Hallelujah.
See, he knew him. And he knew he couldn't lie.
Yes.
He stood a guy up against the wall one time that was dead. Now, most of us Christians would have done like this. "Oh God, what is the idiot doing? Oh God." He said, "I say in Jesus' name." It's documented. Live! Nobody was playing. Nobody was worshiping. They let him go. Boom! Corpse fell. He did that maybe a half a dozen times until the guy started kicking again. The life came back in him.
Hallelujah.
Do you know the world he lived in was not the world that most Christians live in? Oh. Oh. When he comes, I'll feel it. And then I'll worship him. His habit was this. He said, "My habit is this. When I get up in the morning, I don't wait on God for God to come. I bring God. I bring God." If David said, "I will dance before the Lord."
Amen.
He'd just get up before even that first cup. When your breath is still stinky and smelly and all the emotions are like, "Oh, don't talk to me yet." He'd just begin to, "Oh, I just worship you. I just worship you. I worship you." Because he lived above and beyond his emotions. Emotions are highly overrated when they're yours and mine. But my God, his that we've been feeling for the last several minutes, they can raise the dead. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus. I want you to remember Reuben. He's back home. He had an operation this week. He's still in for a fight, but he's won already.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, for a long time I forgot how to answer well-meaning preachers like, "How's your church doing?" I know what they're after. If they don't understand this realm, they don't understand it. So they're fishing for something. They want you to say, "Oh, the the crowds are up or they're down, or just let them know by a barometer of how. Cults have crowds. I mean, the Islamic world gathers in Mecca, and you can't even see the end of them. So if you rate people getting together, oh, there's a bunch of people getting together. If you rate it on based on if a bunch of people get together, you can have a big cult. Crowds don't measure the move of God. Well, how do you answer? Well, anybody that knows anything, I tell them this. The presence is increasing. Well, what about your building fund and the tithes and offerings? He supplies all of our need. Amen. According to His riches and glory. Hallelujah. The presence is increasing. The miracles are getting greater. Yes. And there's a great warfare against the elders, which lets me know we're right where we need to be. And most of all, the elders are strong. Hallelujah. 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 The men and women who know how to pray are strong. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. The biggest thing that I ever found out, I don't know if you want to know my 1 second all knowledge of how to be victorious. My one liner, just everything wrapped up into anything I've ever learned out of years of meditation and praying in tongues. Don't stop. The weather, like they say in some places, if you don't like it, it'll change. But you got to keep moving your feet spiritually. You got to keep doing what you were trained to do, and you'll walk out. I don't care if all of hell comes and camps again. And if you stop, that's where you'll stay, under that cloud, until you decide to keep going. But all my victory of everything I know boils down to one thing: don't stop.
Yes. Amen.
Endurance is the key to victory. Don't stop. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. What you don't like about the moment will change. Your fear will go away eventually. Anxiety, depression, all of it will change if you just don't stop. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many would like to hug each other before it gets too hot in here? Give us some lights, if you would, man. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, it's Father's Day. If you are a father or have raised, see, it's real easy for me to include these kind of guys on being a father. Because there's a lot of guys running around that have sired puppies, and they are no father. They just have male body parts that can produce. But a father is somebody that mentors, loves, and I've the greatest gift I've ever had, besides for number one, was number two and number three. Then, you know, you step into a realm of where a lot of you are coming to is, even if you didn't feel like you did the greatest job in the first bunch, you can go and have an authority to pray them right into the kingdom. And then mentor every young man and every woman. If you're a lady, you become a mother in Israel. A father that speaks the word, is gentle and kind, has the ability to raise up people to the next generation. So if you're a young man or a man in here that has raised someone or is raising someone, along with everybody else that has had the opportunity in this life to be a dad, would you please stand? All you fathers, would you please stand? All right. Let's give them a great big hand. Hallelujah. Would you stretch your faith, if you're around one of them, would you kind of just stretch your faith towards them? Maybe you want to just reach out and touch one of them. If they're standing or you can't get to them, you can move out a little bit. That's fine. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, Father, we're going to pray and lift them up right now. We release your grace and your authority over every single one of them. In Jesus' name. That in these days, first of all, we pray that if any of them have lost children out there, the greatest desire of their life, Father, is that those children will come into the kingdom and be born again. So I release your grace over every single one of these fathers in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for their life, their ministry, and I pray that your blessings of peace and grace rest upon them abundantly in this day. Lord, cause them to get on a road into you that comes to a place of such completeness in their life that they're totally, not only they're made whole, but they're able to bring their children up. And if their children are grown, they're able to make a great, great impact in their lives in the years ahead. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's offering time. Do you want to put those up here? You're not supposed to play on emotions and all that kind of stuff. Shouldn't be out of necessity. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, but if you're hot and you know it, say amen. Amen. Well, we can't fix that except because the one that we got is it got old and needs the rest home. So we're believing that we don't have to go through all this all summer. So here's the necessity. Let's believe God. Hallelujah. He's able to raise it up. Hallelujah. Because I, for one, me and a polar bear would just get along so good. I just tell you, we just love. Hallelujah. But it helps me practice and see where I'm at, because if you get people hot, they'll go to sleep on you. So right now, up to this point, we didn't know where you were walking. So we kept you so shivering cold, and you were looking for something to put around you or whatever. Either you were listening or you're just too cold to go to sleep. You're scared you're going to die of frostbite. But I believe He meets all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, Father, why don't you just help me right now and pray this. I love you. I thank you. I give you all the praise and all the glory. You do supply all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for that air conditioning. All that we have need of, we claim it in the name of Jesus. Release our faith. And believe that we receive all the monies necessary for it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Deanne, I think somebody requested. Okay. So why don't you get ready? And the rest of you, if you need an offering envelope, there should be one close enough to you. If you have not met two beautiful young ladies that entered our atmosphere 2 weeks ago, you're missing a great opportunity. Would you two beautiful, beauty pageant winning type girls please stand? Hallelujah. This is Sadie and Olivia. They're Rex and Marsha's. And they're visiting us for a couple weeks. And they're wondering, what are you doing, Pastor? What are you doing? Just stretch your faith this way. I want to bless them in the Spirit. Oh, they were out catching baseballs last night at the Miracle Park. So they can catch a blessing from you. Father, I just love you. I thank you for their presence with us and all the good work that you're doing in their life. So I'm asking you now, as the Hope body blesses them, as they go home this week, Lord, I just send them home with a blessing. I ask your covering over their bodies, their souls, their spirit. May they have a wonderful year ahead of them. And may they enter into the goodness of God and the blessings of the Lord. And we thank you that they've come and spent this time with us. Now we release them into you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, ladies. Hallelujah. Glory. All right.
Praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day to everyone. I get a chance to butter up to Daddy before you do. I have. Such a good father. The one thing Daddy always did was his best. He did his best for us. And I never worried about where I'd live or what I'd eat, because I knew Daddy would take care of it. Such a good example of what our Heavenly Father is. You know, in this world, he says we have trials and tribulation because we're here. But fear not, for he's overcome that. And you find everything you need in his presence. I've found that every time you choose to spend time with him instead of listening to the radio, or every time you choose, you have that time to open his word, the reward is so great, because it's in his presence that he can talk to you, give you that direction that you need, the answers, because they're all right there. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, or what you're going to do, where you're going to live. He tells us not to. He tells us, don't do that. I have it all figured out. Just seek to be with me in my kingdom, underneath what I would have you do every day. And I'll take care of all the rest. Amen. In his presence. Hallelujah.
I just wanted to say happy Father's Day to my father. He's the beginning and the end. He's the song in my heart. He makes my soul dance. He is my best friend. He is my father. And I say happy Father's Day, Father, because you are our Father, Lord. And I give you the glory and the honor this morning, because you are the Father of this world, the Father of the universe, the Father, the Creator of all things. You are the great I Am. And you are our Father. So we recognize and we adore you, and we give you the glory this morning of Father's Day. Our Father. Hallelujah.
All those fathers may have a dad that's in heaven. You honor him by carrying out the rest of your life, best of your knowledge in Christ Jesus. And the other thing too that you're probably savvy on, But if your dad is alive, this is where you walk. This is where we walk. If he's a hellion, and you don't think he's worth 5 cents for all the people he's hurt, when he said, honor your father and mother, I don't care what they, I don't care if she's walking the street during her living. When he said, honor your father and mother, he put no clause of whether or not they had been good to you or bad to you or indifferent to you. And maybe they won't even let you inside their life. But you are obligated through love to pray for them and to honor them. And even if you tell them, I love you, then there's no reciprocation by it. If they don't say anything back or if they scoff it, he said, honor your father and mother. And he put no age limit, like people think, oh, honor father and mother, I'm 18 now. You could be 80 and they could be 95 or 100. You're supposed to honor them. And do you know it was the first promise, the first commandment with promise? He tagged a promise on this. He said, if you'll do this, you'll live a long life. If you honor your parents, well, they're not worthy of it. You want a short life? You want a short life? Okay, it's up to you. I want to live a long time. I love you, Daddy. I love you. The end's right. You'll get... See, I get the last word. Somebody said, oh, your family. I try my best to equal the playing field. I say, look, if you want to talk about your family, and you're tired of me saying anything about it, go start your church. And then you can talk about your family. Not a real big issue. I did have the best. And I hope all of you feel that way. Love you, Daddy. I was about this high. If Damien was in here, he'd be about the size, really. Maybe a little bit taller. I'd follow him through... we always hunted. I mean, grew up hunting. And I'd follow him... Where we hunted mostly was in the Cypress country, where it was real wet. It was real wet back then all the time. And I can remember, I don't know, countless. You know, he was, he really was, not just in my mind, he really was a big, strong guy. Full 6 foot, shoulders bulging, and some of the biggest arms I ever seen because he was a block layer. And he really was one of the strongest men I ever met. Just naturally strong. I'd seen young men when I was growing up, because we worked construction. I'd see 10, 15, 20 men, and we worked construction, and we put up these lintel bars. And I'd see him pick up and walk off with what two or three guys couldn't do. Gerald testified to that. And some of the young guys would try it and just buckle. He just had that much strength. Well, I'd follow him through the woods, and he took me everywhere he went. If he left the house, once I got to a certain age, if that truck cranked up, he couldn't get away without me. He'd be wading those cypress swamps waist deep, and we'd be hunting for deer that'd be laying up on these high islands out there. And I can really remember the water would be chest deep, neck deep. And sometimes he'd just step over a log and I'd plop, plop, and he'd reach around and pull me up and I'd just be so he took me everywhere he went. I mean, even when I didn't deserve to go. The only beatings, well, not the only. He didn't whip me that much. Mama's the one that whipped me all the time. But when he did, he knew how to apply. I remembered it. Times when I wouldn't make a good report card, the only thing that I wouldn't make a good report card was is I was daydreaming all day about getting to go hunting that weekend. I remember times where, you know, when season was in, it would be Granddaddy and all of them. They'd be getting together. They'd put together somebody at 5 o'clock in the evening would head to the grocery store to buy the groceries, and we'd all be getting together to go someplace. I remember coming in with a bad report card. Mama gave me the alternative. She said, either you can stay home or your dad's gonna beat you, whip you. That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. A whipping only lasts a couple, 3 minutes. I wasn't going to sit home with the women all weekend. So I remember having those kind of whippings, but they were good ones because he just loved me afterwards. The greatest time I ever had was, as I remember when I was about, like I said, Damien size, we'd come in from a hunting trip and we'd rough it, you know, camp and sleep right next to the fire. And he'd pull me up to him. And I'd put my head on that big arm. And, you know, all of the armies of the world couldn't have gotten me that night, because I was safe. Do you know, you can... Sometimes I have a little bit of a reservation talking about that, because I know that everybody's trek in life was not that way. So I know sometimes people grimace and they think, well, that wasn't my plot. But here's the deal. This is why I can speak so with such confidence and love about those times, because they helped me so much. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter who you are. The first birth, we were not all created equal. You could have had a good mama, a good daddy, or a bad, abusive daddy, a bad, abusive mama. But the moment that you get born again, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. To tag along with that, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. The word is not the word comfort as we know it. It's the word ufeno or pheno, which I will not leave you as orphans. I'll tag onto your new nature a comforter, which means is this. Even if the diagram of your childhood was not there, and even if abuse after abuse after abuse had been your excuse, the moment that you get born again, you embark on a walk that's as fresh and anew as the moment that you were first born. And the Holy Spirit then can start a walk that can coin inside of you. He can cast and die inside of you the perfect image of a Heavenly Father and bring to bear all the healing that is necessary. When women or men talk 15 years after they've been born again about something that is still grating and haunting on them, I know that they're not using or exercising their God-given birthright to walk free when they're still complaining about what is their torturous childhood. Because He provided, no matter if you got a good slate, bad slate, He provided a no-excuse birth that you could walk free and have the rest of your life with an absolute memory of this. My Father is what I look to. He is my healer. I don't care what happened to me in my past. I am healed and I am whole. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Whew. Glory be to God. It's a no excuse church. But it's a free church. We're on our way through Him. Glory. I think it's even gotten cooler. Whew. All right. You want to bring this? And then you can be seated, and I won't be very long because we can take our fathers out. right? All right. If you've got something you want to bring it down, you can bring it. Bring this down. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for everyone that's here. The journey that I just described through the power of the Holy Spirit of that healing, no matter how horrible the crisis ever was, there is a place in you where all things are made new. There is a place in you where, Lord, when He went to the cross, He made all things new. So, Father, I thank You. I thank You. In Jesus' name, we have this authority. Thank You for this blessed offering, that You meet all of their needs and our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Made all things new. I'll have to get you to sing that sometime, Gary, here on a Sunday. Hallelujah. Hebrews 5. Glory. Just a little bit here. We've been here before. Let's just read a few scriptures here. Starting at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, that's instructors of the word, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. This is where you're at. This is where we make our identification. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But this is where you're at. But strong meat. That strong meat there, strong means stiff nourishment. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Even though those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah. Just a real quick synopsis. The book of Hebrews is obviously written to Hebrews, the Jewish group of believers. And the writer, whoever he may be, Paul possibly, was writing to encourage them, because they were under a stiff trial. And they were being put under extreme pressure to go back into what they came out of, which was Judaism. And some were denying the faith and going back. And the way that they were getting them to do that was quite simple but quite effective, was they were tapping in on their finances, they were tapping in on their education. So the Jewish state, which was Judaism, which was the law, basically owned the universities, they owned the public marketplace. So I hope it doesn't go to this again, but the persecution they were under was this. If you stepped out and said, okay, I believe in this, the Christ. He has come. Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one. See, they all, Judaism includes a Christ coming. They just don't believe that He's come. And that's why the Antichrist will come and they'll accept him for a while, because he'll be what they believe is the personification of the Christ which is to come. But they just don't believe that the one, the Christ that we serve, is the one. They don't believe Jesus of Nazareth. The Jews don't believe that as a whole. So the Christians being born again then were having to escape a great peril of a fight, in that this, if they found out that you belong to this sect of believers, so then they cut you off. They cut you off in the sense that they throw you out of the synagogue, but that's not, place of worship. So what? Okay. They won't let me worship. I'll worship at home. That's not it. Once the announcement is made that you have been cast out of the synagogue, that doesn't necessarily mean they took you and took you by the hand and threw you and your belongings out. They excommunicated you. Which meant to them was this: no one is to buy and sell with these people. No one is to hire them for hire. If they're in your hire, then it's a possibility you're done, you're fired. Jews, the schools, the higher educations, you couldn't get into them if they found out you were a Christian. And be like this: how do I earn my living anymore? How do I earn my living when the whole state, that everybody around me won't accept me? So there was a great, great persecution. And some of them were caving under it. When you cut off, it's like we know we're under some kind of, they call it a recession, but we're believing it'll get passed. But what if you were in something where there was no end to it, where they just said, all Christians will never be able to work again. We won't hire you. Now that was the pressure they were under. It was extreme pressure. You couldn't turn in a bid. Nobody would have taken it if they knew you were born again. So a lot of them were going back and denouncing Christ and saying, okay, I will denounce Him. And they were losing. They were inevitably losing their salvation. You stand up publicly and say, well, I really didn't mean it. No, you stand up publicly and denounce Him. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before your Father, which is in heaven. So this was the place, it's like they were having to come to: do I eat and feed my kids, or do I deny Christ and get fed? But then I'm in jeopardy. Boy, that was persecution, wasn't it? Kind of makes anything we're going through presently just a shadow. But Paul knew, or the writer knew, they were under this extreme. And this, evidently, he had taught them. Now we're on the road to what? Revival. A great outpouring. We know this, that we're coupling our, let's say, our affection. I love that song, You and I Romance. We are in a romance with Him. We're courting Him. He's coming back to earth. We want to prepare a habitation for Him. This great bridegroom of mine is coming back, and He's going to come back. He's not going to just get me. I'm going to rule and reign with Him on this place, in this planet. Sandwiched in between now and then, there is prophesied a great, great outpouring upon His saints. And it's just got to be, it's got to be now. It's just got to be, we got to be right here at it, at the door. He told me something yesterday. I haven't coined it yet enough to say it right, so you'll forgive me until I get it right. He told me that the higher level of what we're fighting for, that it's achieving, makes it a whole lot easier. Going to that place and fighting for the place that we're fighting for, the status quo over in that makes all of everything you're fighting in the flesh and the enemy, it makes it a whole lot easier of a battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't get much response, but that's all right. It'll settle in. Because you're fighting for something. You're not fighting just for going from pillar to post. Those of you that know that you're in a good fight know that to win here means to win over the things that He's badgering you with so that you rule and reign with Him. Not just in the time to come, but you can rule and reign with Him over all things that the enemy tries to use as a handle against your flesh. Hallelujah. So all He's saying by that is to encourage us, fight vehemently to go in. Because winning the battle means making your life in Him a whole lot easier road of accomplishment and freedom and peace. Hallelujah. The battle might still be there, but who cares if you can't feel it so much? Because you're ruling and reigning so strong with Him. Hallelujah. So, we're getting strong, preparing this habitation for Him. But let's look, read this just real quickly again and let you go in a little bit here. But He says this to this church. He says in verse 11 again, He had many things to say concerning the subject He had just brought up, which He was teaching about the ministry of Christ as Melchizedek. But He said that you're dull of hearing. Word dull means inability to hear. Slothful. I didn't say this. The Greek says it. Stupid. He's saying this. Remember, I didn't say this. The Greek says it. You got stupid on me. You got stupid on me. Why? He says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, means up to this point, you should have grew up into a place where you were instructing everybody else on the Word. He says, you have need that one teach you again. When He says again, evidently He's saying, all of everything that you have need of to walk in and get strong and strong and strong and strong and just really excel in Christ, you've already learned. Well, we've went through this before. One thing we found out about it is this. The dull of hearing, what Paul was, or the writer was actually bringing out was this. It wasn't that they could not hear and understand what was being taught to them. It was that they had become dull of hearing, slothful, because what he was saying here was this. You've heard it. And as we read this, I'll tell you what we're about to say. I'll say what we're saying, what we're going to say. When you hear it and you don't do it, when you hear it and don't do it, after a while, it becomes something that is only something that you're hearing and it has no effect on you. And it actually, after a while, once you don't do what you hear, it becomes, and I'm not being facetious here, it begins to retard what you already know. It actually causes you to go into a reversal process. When you don't go forward in what you know, then you hear it, but you don't do it. He said to the church here, then what happens is there's a slothfulness that begins to take place to the senses. He said this, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. Now look what he says here. Now this is, I wish we had more time. It's Father's Day. You have become, meaning a process took place. Something took place. There was a graduation, but it wasn't a good graduation. They had to go from where they were at into a digression. They became something that they once were not. They were once settled on a good foundation and heard a word that was so strong that they could live it out and be powerful teachers of the Word and powerful orchestrators of all of the doctrine This is there's no segregation in chapter 5 and 6. He goes into talking about the power of the doctrine that they were supposed to have innate under their belt. I mean, the sashes that they wore as men and women were strong doctrine that wherever they went, they were raising up a foundation. I mean, they had a foundation in them. But he says, you've become something that you once were not. You've graduated into something. You've went through a metamorphosis here, but it's not the right way. Why? Because there's been a dulling. You ever heard of the old pan shovel? I think I've been privy to it. I've sat and heard good messages that Pastor Dave or some of you may get up and testify and think, God, I'm so glad they're hearing that back there. Thank God I have gotten to a place where that's not. Oh, thank God they're... Boy, God, you know when to have them in the service. They need that. Hallelujah. Woo. It's called shovel it to the back. It's not for me. That's not mine. That's not mine. It's hitting somebody back there. Only to find out, the more I shovel, I'm digging my own grave. Because the illumination process comes and I'm looking up and saying, uh-oh. Oh, no. You ever thought, I'm glad they're hearing this? They really need it. They really need this. Yes. Yes, we do. He says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. So what equivocates you being a babe is not being able to walk in a place of the word of God. But this is where he says that word is cut and dry. You're able to measure that place of can I not walk in a strong meat of the word. He said strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, that's grown up, completeness. Full age means maturity. Even those who by reason of use, look at this, it's a continual using place. By reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now, this is an interesting verse. But he says this strong meat, those that are walking in a place where they are becoming teachers, they're not dull of hearing, they're going to carry a soundness of doctrine in them. Here's where the bottom line lies. Here's where the threshold lies at. Is can they rightfully discern good and evil? That sounds like a pretty easy task, Pastor. I mean, what do you need for me to do? Call in one of the 5-year-olds, call him in here and ask him to discern who's good, who's bad. We're going to put a costume of somebody dressed up in here like the devil, and then we're going to put a costume-robed, pleasant-faced Jesus over to the other side. And we're going to ask these kids, now, honey, which one's good? That one. The one that you're pointing at Jesus. Yeah. That which is bad? That ugly, scary guy that's got the horns, the tail, the pitchfork. That's kind of the image that we come away with out of this scripture. But the writer he's going far deeper than that. Why would you need some kind of source? Why would you need something far beyond your natural senses if evil, and what he says here, the word evil is the word that which is profitable or unprofitable. Good here was the interpretation of that which was worthwhile in your life or worthy or profitable. The word evil here was the word unprofitable. Why would you need anything other than a five-year-old kind of mentality to say, that's bad, that's good, if everything in life just presented itself with an absolute candidness that was, it was so aware to anybody's eye, they could just look at it and say, hey, I can follow that train of thought. I can believe that. Or else, wait a minute. If evil, perhaps, doesn't always come with a pitchfork and a tail, but it comes surrounded with such a shroud of pleasantness and good and soundness that it will meet my need, it will suffice me, it will supply whatever I need. If there's not something necessary to break past that, then why did he say that you might have your senses exercised by reason of use? The word exercise is the word gymnazo, which means gymnasium, which means you must, if you're going to get grown up in the Spirit, you must advance to a place where your senses, by reason of use, meaning habitual use, meaning staying in a place where His presence and His doctrine is continually rehearsed out of a soundness of the Word. So much so that He uses this analogy. By reason of continual use of gymnazo, a place of exercise of your senses. We say, well, that's spiritual senses. I want to grow up and get real strong in my... No, no, no. He says here, the word senses here is the word psuche, or along that lines of all your natural feeling, emotional things that could cause your mind to vary from one place to the other. And the coin of most Christians is, I have peace about it. I've got peace about it. When the determining factor of peace is not based on emotion, it's not even based on the soundness of the moment, like, oh, it looks like it's all right. The denominator, the common line that is beyond any question, is the reason of use of your senses. When he says use of your senses, he says exercising your senses. It's the same analogy that it would be the same picture as if somebody would exercise to push the weakness out of them and off of them so that they gained a superiority of strength in their life to stand in the place that they needed to stand. Most everybody that's in Christendom, well, I'd say most Spirit-filled churches, understand that the greatest way that we commonly term whether or not we feel like we're walking in the right direction or have just made the right decision, or from anything from a decision financially to a decision of our mate in life or anything, it's a pretty broad-based to the extent that it's almost a buzzword. Have you you're all right in this? Are you sure it's okay? I mean, I've got peace about it. Oh my God, the truth of that. I mean, the truth of that is this. That is the bottom line. When he said that your feet might be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, he was talking about a place in him that everything that your life depended on, whether which way I'll go, which way I won't go, it was shod with a place of your firm-footed stand in the heat of the battle was, I know I'm supposed to be here because I have peace. The battle is not confirming or denying. A lot of times people say, man, if everything opens up, if this door opens up for me, then praise God, I'll know it's God. I found out almost the opposite. About every time everything starts going against me, when I've made a decision, I just lift my hands and say, my God, this confirms I made the right decision. Because the devil hates anything God loves. Well, I've got peace about it, Pastor. Okay. But let me just ask you this. This place that you call peace, has it been refined through a process called the exercise of your senses? Because I can tell you this, the most vulnerable place that you'll ever be in making decisions or going forward or even going to the place where you escape the clutches of satanic kinds of oppressions and make those kind of decisions in your mind and your heart. The most vulnerable places that you'll ever be is when your emotions are tied to it. And giddiness and happiness and availability or depression can all, they're so close to the line of what we call a disruption of peace or an affirmation of peace. If we're not exercising, we say, well, I've got peace in that. Okay, listen, here's the deal. Your peace that you have, then what it'll do is, if it came from Him, if it came from Him, you made a decision, you made a stand, or you made any kind of little thing, big thing, or whatever, if it came from Him, and it came from the exercise of your senses, meaning there's nothing that surrounds you. You've spent enough time in Him. Boy, and one of our greatest friends in the Spirit is what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. And my friend, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, don't count yourself as an orphan. Just spending time in His Word and in worship will even take you to a place where you begin to feel Him pull off of you all the things that would be an embedded kind of thing that would surround your mind and surround your heart to where that when you say, okay, yeah, I made a decision and I've got peace on it, but let me tell you something. If you get down the road, if you say this, God sent me over there. God sent me over there. And I'm going to go start a church. And then 5 years later, you come back all beat up, bruised. And say, my God. I don't know why He did that. I had peace about it. I had absolute peace about it. But God, He must have a plan in it. Let me tell you. He didn't send you. He won't send you unless you're ready. And if you're ready, you can go all the way through. All the way through. Your stand will prove whether or not you made the right decision. And if it turns out absolutely the way it should, you can look back and say, that was peace. But the problem is, when your peace is usually, and this is the state of the church at large, when your state of peace is usually so disrupted by things of this life, and you're not spending enough time exercising your senses, then when you get to a place where you need that norm, that see, here's how peace is. Peace is not a, it's not a whim. It's not a whim. Direction in peace, it's not a whim. It's not, wait a minute. I think that's what he just said. Yeah, I'll go with that. Well, I thought about it and I got peace. You know when I don't, when I do not trust myself? And I'm not your example. He is. I'm just telling you. I haven't arrived. But when I have to take time to make sure is when I'm all excited about it. When I'm all excited about it. Like, if this will profit me. God, is it your will? Oh, I got peace about it. Hallelujah. Or when I can feel my senses coming under some kind of heaviness, trying to direct me. But the the whims are not your direction. His direction is like a tree that grows continually towards the sunlight. The more you pray, the more you worship, the more you spend time rubbing shoulders with the paraclete, even if you thought that was His direction before, and you get, listen, don't be afraid to say, I thought it was last week. I realized this week it was just me. But the more I prayed, the stronger my peace got. And after a while, it'll be just like a beacon. Peace, 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 peace. If you're walking in that direction. But if you're not, and your senses have not been exercised, and you think, okay, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do this, and you got all energetic on it, and you got all involved in it, and you decided, and then it got down the road, and it crumbled up, and you say, my God! Do you know how many people, have given God a bad rep? He told me to do it. I don't know why we're going through this when you told me to do it. Precious, it might be that He didn't tell you to do it. It might be that you shouldn't have went there, done that, been there, signed that, got involved with that, said yes to that. And now He'll bail you out. My God, you talk about bail bonds. He's the greatest one of them all. He's great about doing that. Then again, if we're not letting His peace rule inside of us, we get so squirrely. So squirrely. You know, it's not hard to look at the world, kind of chuckle. Jesus, you know why? One of the reasons why, besides for everything else, I love Jesus. He's one of the greatest sarcastic guys that ever lived. And He did it with great candor and great peace behind it. The examples that He would put out with His sarcasm, nobody can match. He said, you Pharisees, you do this. You gag at a gnat. You can't even see. He's choking on him. You're gagging at a gnat through your teachings. And yet, bring it down. You swallow a whole camel in your hypocrisy. I got friends in the world that I'm praying that'll get born again. They don't bother me because I understand their hypocrisy because their mind's not renewed. They'll get on you. Because they're into greening, green planet. Pick that up and put that in the... Make sure the plastic goes in there. But then they'll support woman's right to murder her baby. Can't shoot a wolf or a whale, and I'm not for that either, but necessarily. But those things are easy. That's good and evil that's easy. But the good and evil that He said, you must be prepared for. And what established you as having strong meat is that you've come to the place that everything on this walk that you're going to face as you're going forward, it's going to come at times and it's going to be shrouded and appear like this is the gift from God. This is the wisdom of God. And you'll just... Oh, thank you, Father. I receive it. It was... This is like talking to your daughter. Not that I have one of these. Honey, he's lazy. Don't marry him. He won't support you. He won't. Mama, he's lazy. Oh, that's so. He's crazy. Crazy over me. I thought it was Mama, he's lazy. He won't support you. But I'm in love. I'm in love and I've got such peace about it. I've got such peace about it. 2 years later. 5 years later. 4 runny-nosed kids and a couch potato with a big belly sitting on the couch. Can you bring me another beer? God, I know you told me I had a peace about it. I had a peace. Sweetheart, your peace was surrounded in what looked to be good. But strong meat belonged to those who, by reason of spending time with Jesus, looks at something past what appears and says, oh no, this may take me out of my prayer closet. Oh no, this opportunity may take me down the road I don't want to go. Oh, maybe this is not where I need to be going. It looks good, smells good, tastes good, has all the affections of my prophet. But, Jesus, are you in it? Guess what? You'll oftentimes also want to divorce yourself from something that you think, that's not God. And He'll come along and say, son, I'm in it. I'm in it. But the only way you know that is to exercise your senses. Meaning, get those things off of you that only, See, Lee Greenwood can sing, I'm proud to be an American. When he does it at certain times, man, if they're showing those scenes that our guys, man, I'll cry. That's an emotion. It didn't come from out of the Holy Spirit. And unless you spend time in that place where you know the difference between what real peace is, because peace is a constant. Peace has nothing to do with the surroundings of the trial or the tribulation. Peace isn't even a happy, I feel good. Let's go get a bite to eat and let's blah, blah, blah. Let's party today and, I think I'm coming out of this trial. No, peace is way, way deeper than that. And peace makes decisions and says, if it doesn't sound like it's working out on Monday morning, I'm still going to keep doing this and exercising this word, because peace passes understanding. And it's not a whim. And my senses won't tell me if I cry, it's God. If I don't cry, oh no, my God, that was for babies that were being led by their senses. And their senses like, I feel good, so this must be God. He goes, my God, you went back to a place that you once came out of. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Happy Father's Day. Glory. We worship you, Jesus. Why don't we just stand and give God all the glory? Just God saying something in that song. If you're a father, we're going to pray this all together. So it's not going to single out anybody. But the greatest thing that you'll ever do is to walk into the healing that is provided by the Holy Spirit. So all that I was saying, or he was saying about what we've been giving at the new birth, it's up to you to exercise it. And so the word says with his stripes we are healed. One says that we are and one says that we were. The Old Testament said we are, and the new, 1 Peter 2:23 and 24 said that we were. The greatest thing we know about the stripes is it was not only for our healing physically, but everything in our emotion. So on this Father's Day, if you're don't have such happy memories, or if there's just something there, whether they're alive or they went to their grave and it just never got totally washed over, healed, I can tell you something. The Holy Spirit can manage your life in peace and bring you to a completeness and a wholeness, so much so that the memory of anything, any schisms, any fights, any abuses, it's all forgiven. As you forgive, you say, well, I don't know that I could really, 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 in all honesty, allow myself to forgive. See, that's where the stripes of Jesus, they were bore. They were bore for our healing. So just like a credit card, you walked up and said, okay, I'm going to charge this meal on this card. When you apply to those stripes and make application, like, okay, I'm going to fill this out, this form. I'm going to make application. The best that you can possibly do in this life is to say, okay, Jesus, it doesn't matter if my emotions are in it or out of it. Wherever Dad is living, whatever he did or didn't do for us, I'm going to choose to forgive him. And whether I feel like it or not, what backs that up and what will eventually give me feeling to it is the stripes of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray as a congregation. If Dad left this world with things unsaid, undone, some of you may not even be quite sure where they're at. But I can tell you this. God will take your words to rearrange the power of your own heart. That's like that song was saying, the forgiveness, that's where the peace is at. So right now, would you pray, all of us together, mean this with everything inside of us? Father, I thank you that you are my Father. And that you and you alone are that perfect example. I want you to know today that I forgive my dad of any wrongdoing. And I forgive myself through the stripes of Jesus for any wrongdoing in these relationships. Father, I believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I lift up my emotions. I receive your healing power through your forgiveness, as I also forgive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Have a great day. Hey, another victory report. Man, I called yesterday that Yolanda had given me a number on. You know, the guy we prayed, they were going to amputate his foot, or they talked about it. He had sugar diabetes. He got an infection through some kind of intravenous feeding, and it went down to his ankle, and they said, this is what we suggest. Lop your leg off just below the knee. He didn't take that. And we prayed. I talked to him yesterday, and he's doing good. And the ankle is doing good. And it appears he's going to come out of there maybe by Tuesday with both legs. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Happy Father's Day.